We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. This week's episode of the Corner is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. You know, me and Andreas are always covering events, we're always writing articles, but when we do have time to sleep, we lay our head down on a nice, pillowy, soft, premium mattress from Casper Mattresses. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and going straight to you. No showrooms, no middleman. Everyone's seen those creepy guys trying to follow you around the department store. None of that anymore. You get your hands on a nice premium mattress by going straight to Casper Mattresses.
Yeah, man. I mean, I got to get my rest. So Casper Mattresses is the goods. I'm telling you right now. So listen, you can get $50 off of any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/the corner and entering the promo code the corner. That's one word, the corner. That's Casper.com/the corner, promo code THECORNER. Terms and conditions apply.
What up, everybody? Welcome back to another week of the Corner Podcast. We are switching it up this week, going to have a little bit of a shorter show, but don't worry, we're going to pack everything into it. And man, the summertime is here, Dre. It's about to be 90 degrees, 100 degrees in Vegas. You know, sun's out, buns out time of the year. Us not partaking as much in the viewing pleasure of this now that we're, you know, very, very taken men. But, you know, it's nice to walk around the strip and see that people are having fun. And there's just a different bounce, but it feels different. This year in particular, we don't have a Cinco de Mayo fight.
Oh, man, we don't. Goddamn Canelo and his tainted meat. But then again, I'm actually looking forward to this. Like, I'm going to a Cinco de Mayo festival this weekend. It's up the street from my house. This is my first time in 10 years not having to cover a fight on Cinco de Mayo weekend. And I'm about to enjoy the hell out of it.
It feels weird. It's going to be good. I get to get drunk on Cinco de Mayo for the first time in what feels like forever. But it feels weird. No Floyd. We just got over the fact that we won't see Floyd anymore on Cinco de Mayo. This used to be Ratchet Weekends. This was our urban loitering time. And then now, it's completely different. Canelo ain't bringing him in. Golovkin is fighting. We're going to talk about that. But he moved out of Vegas, moved it to L.A. It's like we're deserted right now. It's eerie right now over Vegas, and it's the perfect weekend to have fights, and we whacked out because of tainted meat.
Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. Golovkin's still fighting this weekend. We'll talk about that. We got a lot of combat sports to talk about, but before we even talk about anything, including Kanye, how great was Infinity War?
Oh, man. I've watched it 3 times in theaters, so it's that great. I've heard it's even better in 3D, but 3D movies kind of whack me out, so I haven't tried it yet. I might have to do that in a couple weeks before it leaves theaters. I might, when my kids get here, I might take them to see it in 3D just to switch it up, just to see what's good with that. But man, it was everything I thought it would be. It's crazy that they spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, you're whack anyway. They wiped out half of the roster. A one snap of the finger, kind of leaving the OGs, Avengers, still there. So I'm excited to see what they do with the next one. Stayed for the end credits. I'm hoping it's not, like, over the top with Captain Marvel. I understand she'll probably play the Silver Surfer role in things, but, man, I hope it's not like, oh, everyone sucks, everyone's washed, but Captain Marvel can, you know, beat Thanos real quick and easy. Like, I don't want it to be that.
Damn, you just gave up all the spoilers. You better make sure you tell people before you start the show.
Listen, we gave y'all a week and some change. Y'all fine.
Man, you so disrespectful. But Captain Marvel, I mean, there's so much to discuss. I mean, the fact that, you know, there's questions like, why could Captain America touch the Infinity Jewel and not die, right? Like, that's a big deal. If people remember, in Age of Ultron, Captain America was the only one that was able to move Thor's hammer. So he couldn't pick it up, but he was the only human that was able to move it. So there's something to Captain America that's going to be a part of this thing. So it's The movie was just great.
Did he touch an Infinity Stone? Now you just bugged me out.
Yeah, go back and watch it. He touched an Infinity Stone. Man, listen.
Yo, okay, I gotta watch this.
Like go back to that whole final scene. I mean, there's something to Captain America. I mean, obviously Doctor Strange knows something that everybody else doesn't. Just the way the movie ended, the theater was mad silent that I was at. It was just like nobody said shit. Like it was, and then some people left, and I was like, "Yo, what are y'all doing?" Yeah, I was like, "I don't see Marvel movies. What's wrong with you people?"
They judged me so hard for leaving the second time I watched, because I watched it on Friday, and then I watched it Saturday night, and then the people were looking at me like, "Oh, how dare you leave?" And I'm like, "Yo, I already seen it once. I stayed for this. Don't worry about me." Like I know. They judged me heavy. No, it was dope. I liked how it went. Let's just all say that if we have to blame if we have to blame anyone for Thanos getting all of the Infinity Stones, it easily has to be Peter Quill. He whacked out.
Damn, you are really just giving up all the spoilers.
I don't care. Like, they saw it. Damn. Like, everybody who listens to our podcast and seen this shit, we talked about it on Twitter already. If you haven't, yo, we gave y'all the grace period. How long do they want?
I'm just saying, people got families, man. Like, you are really ruining a film. I know, like, I hated social media. I muted everything.
Yeah, we're here. I've been waiting a week to talk about this shit. I've been holding it in for the podcast. I don't care. We're letting it all go. All the gems. I don't care. This is what we need to talk about. I got questions. Damn it, I got questions. I got a week worth of questions to ask about this movie. Like, where was Thanos at the end? Everyone has a different theory.
Who knows? He was looking at the sunset, like you said.
Yeah, but where?
Took his breath.
Because now we know. And once again, I don't care. I'm letting out all the spoilers. The cat's out the bag. Stark is going to have to find him. Because there's no other way for Stark to get back to Earth. So he has to hunt Thanos wherever Thanos is. Where is he? Stark don't know shit about space.
Oh.
So this
I'm sure.
This is an odd dynamic.
Captain Marvel's going to have a lot to do with this because, I mean, Captain Marvel's one of the most powerful. If you're old enough to remember the Marvel cards, I used to have them all. I had the entire set. And it tell you how strong everybody was. Like, Captain Marvel was one of the strongest, period. So it's pretty logical that she could be the one that's the linchpin to take down Thanos in part two. But I figure hopefully people don't come back. I kind of like definitive death and people not coming back. I don't want to be appeased, but like going, oh, well, they're here. No, I hope some of these fools are gone.
Wait, like not come back until the end of the next movie?
No,
not
I'm
come
like,
back at all.
I'm just saying some of the people that I want people to be dead. Like, I need people to die. Like, I don't need, I think they're dead and then they come back. I need permanent death.
I could tell you two people who I think are permanently dead. And I think Loki's a wrap. And then I think Gamora's a wrap.
Yeah, but I need
everybody
major.
Else
I
can
need,
bring back.
See, I don't want everybody else to come back. Like I said, I like definitive death. Look, man, I'm when I was a kid and I went and saw Transformers the movie, and they went and started murking people, like all the characters in the beginning of the movie. As a kid, I was like, yo, because there was a reason behind it. Like, I'm about to get real nerd here, real quick, but like. The 86 cartoon version of Transformers movie, they killed a vast majority of the good guys because they needed to find a way to usher in the next wave of toys. So they had to get rid of, like, Ironside and Jazz, and they had to kill all of them. No, I think Jazz lived in the movie. I know Ironside died, Ironhide died, and a few others, Wheeljack. So they had to kill them all, but it traumatized so many kids that G.I. Joe attempted to do the same thing, and then they had to pull back G.I. Joe because they were going to kill Duke, who was the leader of G.I. Joe, but they had to pull it back because kids were traumatized. When Optimus Prime took an L, kids were traumatized, me included. So it's like, I like that. I like shaking things up. I don't like you shooting somebody and it's like, oh, well, he's not really dead. He's coming back in the sequel. I don't like that shit. If you're going to kill somebody, kill him. Like, or kill him in the sequel. Like, I want somebody to go. That's my piece on that.
Anyway. Someone's going to die in the sequel. Someone's going to really die in the sequel. No, yeah, I thought it was good front to back. I guess I gotta watch it again though. This third time or the fourth time is gonna be a charm. Can't wait though, man. It was everything we wanted. Now we get Ant-Man in the meantime, Captain Marvel standalone. Deadpool coming up here in a couple weeks. That shit looks funny. So there's enough to hold us over until the next one. But man, yeah. I hope this year goes quick.
Well, yeah. I mean, for me, like the last movie to do this to me was Kill Bill. And I remember seeing Kill Bill 1 and was like, fuck, when is Kill Bill 2 coming? And so this movie has got me like that. Like, I'm like, yo, but hopefully, you know, a year is, it sounds like a long time, but it'll fly by. Like, a lot of us will forget about these things, and Marvel will hold us over with Ant-Man and the Wasp and Deadpool. And we'll start to get more details on the Fox deal and the X-Men. Hopefully, you know, some of them making a debut in the next Infinity War, so, or whatever they're going to call this Avengers movie. So I'm excited.
I am too. Are you one of the people that thought Thanos was justified?
No, man. Come on.
Okay.
That's genocide, family. Listen,
yeah, the guy had a premise. He had a premise. There's
nah, man, people, look, like we're about to talk about Kanye West. Like, people are fucking stupid. Like, we're about to talk, we can transition right into Kanye West. Free thinking doesn't mean you can say stupid shit. And there was nothing about Thanos that was like, yo, that makes sense. No, it doesn't. It's genocide. Like, wiping out people and taking it upon yourself to kill people is genocide. Slavery is not a fucking choice. God damn it. Like, what the fuck is wrong with Kanye West? We gotta get this guy out of here.
Listen, according to Kanye West, slavery is a choice. Like they stayed and was like, you know what? Fuck it. Free room and board. Like, it's, to him, you know what? They could have just swam back to Africa, maybe. I'm not sure how he justifies that whole part of history. But he's not here talking facts. You know, the what did he do? He quoted someone that was just ridiculous.
He quoted Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman. Was fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Like, the quote doesn't even exist. Like, in theory, that is a great concept. Like, slavery is in your mind, not in physicality. Yeah, it's a great theory, but she didn't say it. And somebody tried to check me. He was like, no, yeah, she did. I'm like, look, you're talking to the wrong one right now. Like, I was woke before woke was a fucking word. So y'all got to cut that shit out. Like, my life has been dedicated to this shit. And people was like, yo, Harriet Tubman said that. No, she didn't. Like, Willie Lynch Syndrome, that's not a real book. Like, y'all got to chill. But your man Kanye, like the Charlamagne interview, like I haven't been able to get through the entire interview because it drives me nuts. Because his ego is just out of this world, and he's so out of touch with life, and he's just really empowering the right to say that, yo, that black man is telling y'all the truth. No, he's not. Like, between him and Candace Owens, fuck them both.
Yeah, that's the key. He says it with so much conviction that people believe it's the truth. That's what's most mind-boggling to me so far. It's that I've always thought that if you just speak something out and you say that shit, like, just, I guess, confidence, people will believe you. People like, yo, the earth is flat. People like, god damn, is the earth flat? Like, it's some just dumb shit you can say. He's taking that to the next level. And does this benefit him? That's the biggest question. That's where everything is going. The little MAGA white chick who went to UNLV and now stirs shit up all the time, Tommy Lahren or whatever, she was like, don't go with Kanye, he's not our voice, he's doing this to sell albums. Well, is he going to sell albums? Like, are MAGA people really going to buy it or stream his album thinking he's going all pro-Trump? Like, I don't understand.
Look, there's a couple things here to talk about. One is this whole concept of buying albums doesn't even exist anymore. No. Like, we have to get past this. And streaming a lot of people albums. Talk about, yeah, like, every week, like, there's a new record that's been broke. Post Malone broke this record. Like, Cardi B went, like, gold in 5 minutes. Like, it's all bullshit. Because the first thing is, we don't even own music anymore. Like, nobody owns music. Like, you go, you buy a subscription to a streaming service, and once you stop paying for that subscription, the music's gone. So you don't even own it. So it's like I'm paying for access to listen through your library. Like, I'm paying for access to go borrow your books, but I don't own them. Like, me, you see my bookshelf. I've got books. I own that. Like, I made an investment in that. So nobody's making an investment in Kanye West. People are going to listen to the album because it's Kanye West. But I don't think it's going to be like this groundswell of people from the right who are going to be like, man, I need to listen to Kanye West for the first time in my entire life. That's not happening. Like, we're talking about Kanye West, but it's not necessarily going to translate. I don't see how this is going to be, oh man, this is a marketing ploy. This is not a marketing ploy. Like, he's trying to get buzz, which is true, but I don't see how this benefits him at the end of the day, because honestly, he's turned a lot of people off. But the people that he's turned on and off, people are still going to listen to the album.
Still going to buy the sneakers. But they're not buying it. Still going to do everything else. Yeah. That'll hit him harder than anything if people stop buying the sneakers.
Yeah, I wish boycotting and was canceling was a real concept that people actually follow through with, but it's not. Like, the whole thing about, yo, such and such is canceled. Like, they tried to cancel Issa Rae for a book that she wrote. Yo, she wrote this book 3 years ago, more than 3 years ago. I have the book. I read the book. And there's a quote in there about, you know, black women dating Asian men. It was taken completely out of context because in the book, what she says is, on dating apps, the least desirables are Asian men and black women. So she said, shit, they might as well date together. It was somewhat a joke, but it was rooted in truth. And people took that. It was like, yo, it's the same, date Asian men. Y'all are stupid. Y'all lack context in life. Y'all don't know shit. People who say this to cancel her, like, what are you canceling her for? You're going to watch Insecure next season? Cut it out.
Yeah.
So, but it's like that. But that's what we're doing, is like we're fake canceling people. Like, I have like people who are going to like Kanye are still going to like Kanye. That's why they're defending him. Like, people that are defending him, like, yo, this is a marketing point. I'm looking at you, Glasses Malone. Like, y'all got to chill with that, man. Like, this man is what he's saying is dangerous because it's empowering the wrong group of people. But if y'all think he's going to sell a bunch more records, okay, yeah, he's going to sell more albums because of this. All right, he's going to do what he was going to do anyway. Because, like, Drake ain't going to have to do nothing. He's going to sell more than Kanye. We're not going to see Drake do any of this shit. So, I mean, it'll help us talking about him. But let's see if the album fucking comes about. How about that? I'm not even convinced the album drops on June 1st.
Yeah, I mean, now he has to strike while the iron's hot. We'll see if the album's actually any good.
That's the other thing.
That's the first step. Like, if it's not good, then we ain't talking about shit. Because it has to be good music, no pun intended. I'm not sure if he's in that space anymore. And I loved that people were quoting old Kanye songs, College Dropout, you know, all three of the series, and they're quoting that, 808s, whatever they may have been quoting, like woke Kanye. And I'm like, yo, you're quoting Rhymefest. You're quoting Consequence. Like, you're quoting dudes and influences that Kanye, at this point, there's enough to just show, enough evidence to show, he's just a chameleon.
Yeah,
he is whoever he hung out with at the time. So you're calling a bunch of people who were pretty woke, who still to this day are pretty woke, and Kanye was just around them and wanted to be like them. Now he's around a different set of people and wants to be like them so bad that he's spewing whatever they spew.
Well, let's put this out in the open. Like, Kanye West, when he arrived on the scene, he has always desired to be around the rich white elite. There's every interview. Everything he's ever talked about was wanting to be a part of the rich white elite. He never wanted to be black and successful. He wanted to be a creator who was part of them from the jump, day one. Because he quotes things like, well, he doesn't even quote. Like, he says, I want to be like Ralph. I want to be like Disney. But he doesn't take the values of what Ralph Lauren or Bill Gates or Disney, like, he takes none of that. He just wants their success. So when he talks about Donald Trump, the only thing he really talks about, because, like, T.I. challenges, like, what half of this politics do you believe in? He doesn't even fucking know. The only thing that Kanye knows is that Trump went against the grain, and that's all Kanye has ever tried to do with his entire life. So he admires that about Trump. But it's dangerous when you don't know shit about Trump. Like, you don't know the politics of Walt Disney. Like, you don't know who he was. Like, you know nothing, but you want to be that enterprise. Right. That's all he ever talks about. The other thing on that is, like, I've been friends with Rhymefest for a long time. He's not listening to this podcast, and the cat's already out the bag. Years ago, we were working on something together. I don't know if people remember the puppet cartoon that Kanye was supposed to have. It was Cartoon Network or Adult Swim. It had an actual pilot that was on YouTube, and I think it might have been HBO or something like that. I was writing for that through Rhymefest. Rhymefest called me one day and was like, yo, send me some ideas. Kanye's doing the show. If it takes off, we're going to put you on the writing staff. This is like 07. I don't think I've ever told anybody this, and I don't think enough people listen to podcasts to care to make a difference. And it doesn't matter now because the show never happened. So me and Rhymefest got really cool over the years, and Rhymefest sent me his Elche album way before it dropped. So we used to have conversations, and now, like, I used to ask him just random questions about songs. And, like, when he told me he wrote crack music, and this, like, this is like right around graduation or before that. And I was like, yo, you still writing this shit? And he was like, yo, in a nutshell, I'm not going to quote exactly what he said. Anything political that Kanye said came from my mouth. Like, those are my words. And he wasn't trying to shit on Kanye, but he was just saying the political edge of Kanye, the conscious edge of Kanye, is all Rhyme Fest.
And I believe it. It's Rhyme Fest, it's cons, it's, yeah. Like, it. There's no secret anymore. Like, yo, it's, 808s and Heartbreak was Kid Cudi. This last album was fucking Chance the Rapper. He just, that's Travis what he
Scott. Does. So, the thing is that, and I'm going to take this the wrong way, but Kanye West is not smart. Like, there's nothing about Kanye West that's intelligent in the sense of, like, I pick up and read books and I can debate you on philosophies or history. Like, Kanye's not that guy, right? He's a great producer who is questionable these days. But he's not smart. Like, he's not a guy that's, like, really changing the world. Like, y'all that are following him into the depths of hell are fucking lemmings. Like, you got to recognize, man, this man just wants attention. Mm-hmm. So, but that's where we are now. Kanye West is here, and he's a prominent voice in our community, and people are going to walk off the cliff with him, arguing these points and giving, saying, just because he likes Trump. Dog, he don't like Trump. He likes the idea of Trump. Kanye West, honestly, if he was just an average man, would be pretty harmless because he's not really like a dangerous person. It's the people that follow him are the ones I'm worried about. Like, Kanye's just a guy who, honestly, I think just wants to be accepted.
I mean, you can say the same thing about Trump. Like, Trump's just a guy that wanted a platform and spewed a bunch of stuff and saw it. It was like, yo, I wonder if this sticks. It's the people who follow him. The everyday people who are kind of, you know, you just blindly follow people and you open your eyes and be like, are you serious? Like, well, this is the message you follow.
That part of that is true, but here's the difference between Trump and Kanye. And this is it. We can move on to combat sports unless you got something to say about this. Donald Trump has had that fucked up hair for how long now? And has never changed it. And this is true. He's never changed it. Kanye West said he got liposuction because he worried about TMZ calling him fat. There's a different kind of insecurity that Kanye West carries that Trump has no part of.
Time out. He got liposuction?
He says in the TMZ, he got liposuction. That's what put him on the opioid addiction. Because he blamed people for him needing to lose weight because we were going to call him fat. When that's nothing but insecurity. Because I'm sure he went to Kim Kardashian's plastic surgeon to get this done. Like, of course. This is you. You're insecure. Like, Donald Trump's hair has been talked about for eons. And he's never changed that shit because he could give a fuck less what we think about his hair. Kanye got liposuction because he was worried about what TMZ thought. It's a different world of insecurity. Kanye West doesn't want to be Diddy or Jay-Z. He wants to be Disney, but you can't be Disney. You're not that smart, dude.
Yeah.
You're not that guy. But he's so insecure and he needs a hug, man. He lost his mom. That was his filter. I feel bad for him in that sense, but he's not smart. Y'all got to stop treating this man like he's smart. He's a fucking dummy. He didn't pick up books. He's a college dropout. Not that it's necessarily a bad thing, but let's be real. The dude just wasn't a smart guy. He's a creative guy. Like, he's not even, his fashion sense isn't even that great. Y'all got to chill with this shit.
No, his fashion sense isn't that great. I watch some of those fashion shows. I'm like, yo, are you fucking serious? And the stuff people buy, these Yeezy 5s suck. These shits are horrible. And people are buying them, like, flying off the shelves. Like, yo, people, the hypebeast movement and the puppets out there are just real right now.
If you want to admire anything, admire Kanye's ambition, right? But just, you got to know when a dummy's a dummy, right? or you got to know when somebody's ignorant, just don't know shit. And Kanye's speaking out his ass, and it's become dangerous because people follow this shit. Like, when reality stars are bigger celebrities than actors, there's something wrong with the world. And Kanye's like, he's transitioning to that point. I mean, look, man, the man married into the Kardashian family. And if this divorce stuff is true, yo, people are about to really turn on Kanye. I'm going to feel really bad for this guy. But he's in the tough. He's in a dangerous spot, but his ego is out of this world. Somebody need to check his ass a long time ago.
Yeah. All right, let's get to combat sports then, because we got a nice little compact show here, so we got to talk about what we came here to talk about. We touched on Triple G earlier. He has his fight this weekend. Should have been against Canelo. That's not happening. Kevin Ioli, Yahoo Sports Today, put out an article that Triple G says the likelihood of a rematch with Canelo is only at 10%. That's the strongest 10% I've ever seen, because he is not passing up on that paycheck. No way, no how. right?
No, that fight is happening. I think, but I think what Triple G is doing is posturing, because he doesn't want to make the same concessions that he had to make for the first fight and the rematch that was booked for May 5th. He doesn't want to give up the money. He doesn't want to give up the whatever he had to give up for this fight. He doesn't want to do that in the rematch. So he's going to say 10% because he doesn't want to be pushed around when it comes to negotiations. Like, Tom Loeffler is the one who's going to be like, yo, y'all fucked up our money the first time. Like, the split's got to be different. Like, y'all got to figure this shit out. But yeah, that 10%, it's like 100%. That fight's fucking happening. So either way, but people making out Triple G to be able to be the bad guy really bugged me out. Like,
what? No,
you know, people are saying he should have fought like Devchenko, or he should have fought Bubu Andrade, but
he should have fought Canelo Alvarez, and Canelo messed that up. So now you take what you can get.
Right, and he's still fine. He's still gonna get a check, right? Like, he's gonna check. He's not wasting the training camp. He's 36. He doesn't have time for that. And he's going to fight Venice Matarossian, which is, I mean, it is what it is. And Venice, you know, he's never been stopped before. He's a good fighter. He hasn't fought in 2 years, but he's a good fighter at 154. He's going to get beat, but what the fuck you want Triple G to do? Y'all got to set up.
Yeah, they're lucky because this isn't happening in boxing as much as it does MMA. They's taking the fight on short notice.
Yeah.
Because he could have just said, you know what? I'm not fighting right now. Figure it out. But he wants to stay active. He wants the paycheck. And this is only going to make him, you know, bigger, because it's another highlight fight. Honestly, at this point in his career, highlight knockouts aren't easy to come by because you're facing the best of the best. So take your little highlight knockout, put it on the reel, and let's roll it forward. And people act like Triple G isn't 36. He don't got time to be just sitting back waiting for Canelo.
Nah, man. You can't be wasting training camps, man. Go get that money.
Yeah,
you know
can't
what I'm saying?
Waste
go get
time, that, can't get, waste like, training camps. No. It's finite right now, and he's smart enough to know that.
Yep.
All right. Is it going over 6 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah. No, Triple G is not a one-punch knockout guy, even though his punches hurt like
hell. Oh, not 6 minutes. Talking. 6 rounds. Excuse me.
I think, well, the over-under is 8.5, and I said the fight's going under. And I think Triple G is gonna get a finish. But Venice is pretty tough. Not that he hasn't been down before. He got knocked down by like Saul Roman in like the opening minutes of their fight. He's been knocked down in the past. But I'm not saying that Triple G is gonna carry him to give the people a show. But it could. 6 rounds is right around the time I think this fight's gonna end. I think he'll make it fun. He'll walk. Like, he'll do the Kell Brook. Like, he'll take some shots because he ain't really worried about Venice's power, and he's just going to walk him down and mow his ass down. So probably around 6 rounds sounds about right.
Yeah, and Triple G, the first couple times I saw him were in StubHub. He just puts on a show there every time. Every single time. So I expect it to be entertaining. I don't expect it to go 6 rounds unless he wants it to. You know, big drama show. He's carried people that far before and just punished them. So I expect it to get done earlier. But maybe not. We'll see. That's going to be a good fight, though. MMA-wise, do we have anything coming up in MMA?
No, man. We just had Fedor turning back the clock, I guess. Frank Mir.
Well, Frank Mir definitely looked like a better Frank Mir. It looked like he rededicated himself to the gym. And his physique improved from the last couple of times we've seen him. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. So, Mir came. He landed a couple shots. Fedor, to me, not getting knocked out was the biggest story of that fight. Because Fedor took a couple to the chin. And I thought if he took anything to the chin, it'd be night-night. So, he didn't. He ate them. He delivered it back. He got a knockout. People went nuts for it. I thought that was cool. Now he gets to face Chael Sonnen, who has no power against people at 205. Let alone against heavyweights. He doesn't really have to worry about getting knocked out. Chael has to take this to the ground. And even then, Fedor is the bigger guy. So I like Fedor's chances in the next fight. And Fedor might be the Bellator champion in 2019. Who knew?
I think Ryan Bader might watch Fedor. But it's crazy because he's like, Ryan Bader? Really? But I thought Frank Mir was going to put up a better fight. I thought it was going to last a lot longer. I thought it was going to be a little bit more.
Frank Mir landed a nice amount of punches. Like, it's not like he didn't put up a good fight.
Yeah, I mean, for what it was quick. But I guess I don't know if Fedor is turning back the clock or this is just two old washed up guys fighting each other. And I think the latter is true, but it's very possible that Fedor could win this whole thing. It's crazy. Fedor heavyweight champion in 2018. Like, what the fuck? Well, yeah, whatever. But yeah, there's really nothing to talk about in MMA. It's let me see. We got Nick Diaz beating people up at the club, according to Marlon Wayans. You got.
Listen, it's the Diaz brother. You expect anything? They said Nate's gonna fight in August.
I'll believe when I see it.
I don't put it past it though. I mean, that Conor McGregor paycheck was pretty nice, but it's not enough where you can disappear like Conor McGregor. So you got to fight again sooner or later. This weed ain't gonna buy itself.
No, that's true. I think Nate will probably fight. I don't know if it'll be August, though. I just think I'll find the right opponent and figure things out. But, yeah, it's pretty quiet in the world of MMA. Have we had anything great booked? I mean, Dana White saying that
Conor could beat.
Oh, yeah, Stylebender.
He's going to get the headline, kind of step up in competition.
Fighting Tavares in the Ultimate Fighter finale. Yeah,
and we'll be there, so that's dope.
Yeah, we'll be there.
What else is there? And that's actually a good spot. I remember the last time we went and saw someone on the rise there. It was, I think it was Ellenberger versus, who did Ellenberger face? Wonderboy.
Yeah, Wonderboy kicked his head off because you said Ellenberger was going to beat him.
Yeah, I was like, Ellenberger could take him deep. Bong, first round. I was like, worst prediction ever. So that wasn't great. So, Wonderboy is the last one. So now we see Stylebender kind of in that same showcase. So that'll be fun. Yeah.
He might lose that fight.
It's a huge step up in competition.
Clearly he's got to work on his takedown defense. Like, clearly.
And now it's five rounds of it.
Yeah, and facing Brad Tavares, he's a good fighter. And he's got good wrestling, so it's the perfect fight to find out where he's at. I don't, boxing, this wouldn't have happened. It would have been like too soon for that. Let's find somebody else. But, UFC, they don't really care. It's like, we're just going to throw you in there, and if you get beat, fuck it. You'll be back, I guess. So I guess they'll figure it out.
That's what they're hoping for. Like, fuck it. Like, if you win, you're on the fast track. If you lose, you're kind of a rat. Not much in MMA. You said Dana White says something about Conor. I'm shocked because that's all he did that moves the needle now.
The only thing he said is if Conor fights Khabib and won't be in Russia, it'll have to be in Vegas. Take that for what it's worth.
Duh. I'll take that. Yeah, I mean, I kind of figured that.
Yeah, it's Khabib will probably get a fight in Russia, but yeah, it won't be against Conor. No. It was never going to be.
October 3rd is when I think is bookmarked for that Vegas card. That's when I expect it to happen.
We'll see. Like, look, he's got to go to court in June. I don't know if I feel like I've said a billion times before, they have to do something to Conor. They need to punish him. I don't know if they're going to, but they should.
If they punish him, it'll be a 3-month suspension, and he'll be right and ready for October.
Oh, what they'll do is it'll be retroactive to the date that the incident happened, and they'll be like, oh, man, look at that. What a coincidence. It's right before October. He's ready to fight. It'll be some bullshit, but it is what it is. You know, the UFC is still hemorrhaging money, and they bought a lemon, like I've said a billion times before. So
yeah, man, whatever. Listen, CM Punk is on another pay-per-view card. They are, Greg Hardy is getting a tryout.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say unbelievable, but they don't even care. It's like bad PR, whatever.
Whatever,
like,
they need some PR. That good, bad, as long as it's something, because and when Greg Hardy fights on a UFC pay-per-view, it will be on ESPN. It'll be on Fox. It'll be on Yahoo. I mean, we were talking about this in a group chat the other day. It's hard as hell to get, a MMA story, a normal MMA story on, like, a front page of Yahoo. If your name's not Conor McGregor, Greg Hardy will do that.
Yeah, and that's, I write for Yahoo, and not to give up what always goes on behind the scenes, but it's like we look for bigger stories. Like, and Greg Hardy, I've written about every Greg Hardy fight for Yahoo, and it's been on the front page. That tells you how much attention is with Greg Hardy versus anybody else. Tavares, like, nobody else moves the needle, but Greg Hardy moves the needle. So I get why they signed him. It gets traffic. Like, people want to watch him fight, I guess.
No, yeah, I mean, it's polarizing. It's a topic of conversation, and that's what they need most. So I understand that. Let's go to pro wrestling then. Fuck it. We got a nice amount of minutes left. Greatest Royal Rumble. Best moment of the night. Titus O'Neil, face first, like he's sliding into home.
Bruh.
Yo, it couldn't be any more perfect. I watched that shit back like 10, 11 times.
Yo, that was Shockmaster 2018. That was... Yeah, I was like, and funny. Here's the funny for me, like when because I watched it that morning. That was the longest goddamn show ever. But I watched it, and I was watching the Greatest Royal Rumble, and I needed to go to the bathroom because the show was so goddamn long. And my wife came down, so she was watching my daughter real quick. So Titus music hits, and I was like, perfect time to go to the bathroom. And I went to the bathroom, and all I heard was Michael Cole laughing. And I ran out and I saw the replays. I was like, I cannot believe I missed this shit live. Like, I couldn't believe I missed it. But yo, the most unintentional incident that turned out to be absolutely hilarious. Other than that, the Greatest Royal Rumble was kind of whack.
No, it was whack. It's funny to hear that, like, the Saudi Arabian prince dude who's responsible for the thing requested Undertaker, Yokozuna, and Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah,
It backs up my fact of saying that I'm pretty sure they don't know anything past wrestling in like 1998.
Yeah, you know, they're like the kids who get the t-shirts from the guys who lost the NBA Finals 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's exactly, you know what I mean? That's
like the last year version of the Cleveland Cavs championship shirts. Like that's Saudi Arabia when it comes to pro wrestling. They're like, oh, Undertaker? Like, no, dude. Like, he's like 100 years old.
Yeah, it was the quietest yes chance I've seen in like 3 years. The Saudi Arabian dudes in the front, like the diplomats, not even paying attention.
Yo, they had like the biggest, like, yo, when you're looking at the sofa chairs, like, yo, where did they get these sofa chairs from? Like, these were like amazing chairs that I think I have like one in my crib. And they had these in the front row and they were like super relaxed. And there was a time, I think, during maybe the Lesnar Cage match, maybe Nakamura match, that I just was watching them for an extended period of time. And I was like, yo, they really don't give a fuck. They're just like here. Like, they're just like, they're supposed to be here. Or
yeah,
it was like,
fuck it. It's something to do. Whatever. The crowd, like, up top was kind of hot for stuff. Yeah, those first couple rows. And it made for a horrible viewing product.
Yeah.
Because their backs were turned half the time.
Yeah. It was, you know, it was crazy. I'm watching them. I'm like, yo, they're just here. They're just here. But, yo, Braun winning the Royal Rumble. It's like, all right, whatever. It feels weird because it's like, yo, okay, Roman lost, quote unquote. With that little dumb controversy or whatever, which means they're going to end up doing it again, whatever the pay-per-view after Backlash
no
is.
No way.
They have to. It feels like they have to. But
it's like Money in the Bank.
But on the other side of it, it really feels like Braun Strowman's ahead of Roman Reigns. They're finally recognizing this, and I don't know when you put the title on Braun Strowman, but it's like, yo, he just won the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Like, you could do it again, and it's going to be the same outcome. Because Brock's going to win, and Strowman has to beat Brock at SummerSlam.
Yo, listen. Brock and Roman was such a terrible match. It was literally watching Ryu versus Ken throw fireballs at each other for however long it was.
Oh, well, I didn't think it was that bad, because at least Brock sold. But yeah, it was all finishers, right?
Yeah, like, you felt like there was like spears, Superman punches. Like, you know, y'all got to cut it out. It's like they only... Like, have you ever played that person like Mortal Kombat who only knows how to throw the scorpion spear? And it's like,
I hate that shit. And it's just like, nothing but like, you know, getting frozen by Sub-Zero or bicycle kicks by Liu Kang just over and over and over.
It was I'm watching this match. I just thought, and then when I saw Brock, like, I was about to tweet it earlier when I was watching. I was like, watch this shit be some shit where they fly through the cage. I didn't think it was going to be that specific anywhere. They just both feet rule or whatever, but I was like, why should it be some dumb shit? Because they gotta come out of the cage somehow, and then that shit happened. I was like, really? Like, it's, man, they just gotta stop. They gotta cut it out with these two.
Yeah, I think we're seeing the beginning of the end, and I'm not sure where Roman goes from here, but I think this summer is the perfect time for a reboot, and everyone there knows it except for Vince, and I think maybe even Vince is noticing it, only because he has a better option. If he didn't have a better option, we'd still be stuck with it.
Yeah. But the thing that I fear the most about Braun Strowman is, where does he come down? Like, this star is rising so high, but even if he wins the title, well, what's a logical feud for Braun Strowman? Because it's not like you built him up as, like, a kind of sort of monster. You built him up as a guy who can beat everybody but Brock Lesnar. and Roman Reigns.
I was about to say Roman Reigns. No, but you got the Lashleys of the world.
Yeah, but he's not heel. Like, he's like Braun's this weird. He's in this weird baby face. Like, I feel like Braun would work better as a heel than a baby face because I feel like there's more feuds that make sense. Whereas a baby face, I can't see him feuding with Kevin Owens, and I'm like, damn, Kevin Owens is going to beat Braun Strowman. Like, they put him in a position where it feels like he can't lose.
Yeah. Or whoever beats him is very, very special. I don't mind that as long as you're a fighting champion. As long as you're a fighting monster, you know? What pisses me off about Brock is he's not a fighting champion, and then on top of that, he doesn't lose.
Well, see, so I agree to a certain extent. I like the special attraction of Brock Lesnar. To an extent, because he disappears for a little bit too long. I don't feel like the champion should always wrestle on television. I don't think that it should be necessary, and I think that makes it a little bit more special. However, the problem with Brock Lesnar, not the winning part, it's his matches suck. That's my problem with Brock Lesnar. Like, it went from the annihilation of John Cena, which everybody loved, and then as time progressed, the matches became finishers. Like, that was it. German suplex, finish. Like, it wasn't. Like, after Suplex City won with John Cena.
Goldberg.
Yeah, like, it was the same kind of match. And there's, aside from maybe, like, the AJ Styles match.
And the triple threat with Cena and Rollins.
Yeah. Aside from those matches, it's like, the sameness is what bothers me. But, like, I would love for Braun Strowman to be champion and not wrestle on TV. Like, he could appear, but I don't feel like you should defend your title on television all the time because it waters it down. You got enough titles you could defend.
Yeah, no, I like the appearance factor. Just be around.
The matches suck. That's my only issue. The matches are absolute trash. Meanwhile, I'm just going to state this right now. I think the Cavs are about to sweep Toronto because Toronto really has no idea what to do. Anyway, let's move on.
Kevin Love took off tonight. I was watching that too. Like, I have it here in the station. And I found, like, an edit bay, and we got TVs in here. And I just have it on, and I'm just like, yo, what the hell happened to the Raptors? At home?
Yeah. Yo, they're getting washed right now. Oh, LeBron is, like, 33 and 13 assists after doing nothing in the first quarter.
He might as well just buy real estate in Toronto because he's the king there.
LeBron's like Thanos right now. He's just nuking these guys. Anyway.
Please, someone Photoshop that. I just need Thanos, like, chilling, watching the sunset, but it's really Braun. Just let LeBron just rock out with his Thanos flick. All right, let's talk about Backlash before we get out of here then. Let's run down the card. We have Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I feel like Strowman and Lashley will win, but that's setting up a feud in the future.
Yeah, I feel like they need to turn Bobby Lashley heel.
I think so too. That's why I like Lashley, a heel Lashley versus a face Braun.
Yeah, there's no juice on Lashley as a babyface character. None whatsoever. Like, all the juice is if he was a heel. But then even as a heel, I just need him to be a menacing heel, and I don't know if they really know what to do with him. Like, he's another guy that should be like, I think somebody said it in our group chat, like, MVP should be his mouthpiece. Yeah, that would be excellent.
He needs a manager. Yeah, exactly. That'd be great. They don't want to pay an extra guy, though.
Yeah, but yeah, Strowman and Lashley, maybe Lashley turns on Strowman and sets up a few. Because Strowman has nowhere to go from here. It's like Tyler Butts, because who else is going to... Dog, he won the tag team titles by himself, and then he just won the greatest Royal Rumble. Like, if you don't give him a title shot, you need to give him a logical feud, and Lashley's like the only guy.
Yeah, because if you beat Lashley and have a couple good matches, then you beat Lashley right before SummerSlam, it's like, cool. Because now it's like, I beat a guy who looks like a monster, he's just a black Brock. So now I can be Brock. You know, like, it lends that story.
Jesus, LeBron, he's killing these fools. But the thing about Lashley, though, is if he comes out and loses, it kind of feels like, well, where does he go?
Exactly.
Like, I hope they figure this out. But, yeah, I think Strowman and Lashley, maybe they lose because of Lashley. But yeah. I'm only concerned the angle. If it's just a straight-up match, then it's all for fucking nothing.
All right, then we have Seth Rollins versus The Miz.
Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins wins it again. Yeah,
of course.
Hardy versus Orton.
Oh, man, it has to, please God, be Jeff Hardy, because Randy Orton's terrible. and this is from somebody who used to like Randy Orton, but not even talking about
mailing it in. He's mailed it in.
Yeah, he's no thanks. Jeff Hardy should win this match.
Yeah, I think so, too. In which I want to see an appearance. Only reason Randy Orton will win, if I get to see El Idolo come out. and we get MAGA Orton versus just an incredible heel Cien Almas. That would be so dope. And then I'd be pissed when Orton goes over on him.
Right.
Then we have Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss. Nia has to win again. But yeah. I don't know where her next feud is. There's no one left on Raw.
Yo, Nia, and I mean, not that Nia's Braun. Braun has become a better character and a better wrestler than Nia. But they're, like, in the same spot. Like, as a babyface, it's like, well, who do you feud with after this?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, whoever turns heel, Sasha or Bayley.
I guess.
That shit ever happens, we're still on the same storyline.
Oh, my God. It feels like forever, too. But, I guess. I mean, yeah, whatever.
Carmella versus Charlotte. I'm going to pick Carmella, and I'm pissed. So now we can have Natalya beat Charlotte. Charlotte beat Asuka and end the streak, and then Carmella beat Charlotte. What?
Yeah, I mean, this is all dumb when you piece it together like that, and this is the reason why I hated that Asuka lost at WrestleMania, because now it's, like, all for nothing. But, yeah, it feels like Carmella's going to go over on some cheat, the Iconics or something. So she's got to cheat. She has to go over. She can't lose the title that quick.
No, you're right. Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass, your favorite matchup of the night.
Jesus Christ. Yo, what is Big Diesel, Cass doing
Diesel
to his body?
Diesel 2.0. Yo, he actually looks in really good shape.
I'm just talking about the tan, though. Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, he's got that Hogan tan, but it's, like, worse.
Yeah, I mean, but he's in the best shape of his career. He doesn't have, like Fupa Big Cass anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's in great shape, but he's here to just put Daniel Bryan over, so there's that.
He's Diesel all the way. I think they let Big Cass beat Daniel Bryan. You're not going to like that. And I think both would be in the Money in the Bank match. Carrying the feud over. I think Big Cass wins.
In some ways, I'm not mad at it. From a logic standpoint, I feel like you can't bring Big Cass and just completely nuke him, and then you send him back to the mid-card. But, it just feels like Daniel Bryan, it's kind of weird to have him lose, right?
But it's not going to hurt him.
Yeah, this thing, it's not going to hurt him. It just depends on how he loses, if he were to lose to Big Cass. My problem with Big Cass is he's really not that good. I just feel like they really don't have a lot of heels on SmackDown, and they could keep one to stay engaged in a feud with Daniel Bryan until they figure out how they're going to get the title on him.
Yeah, and just postpone that Miz feud as well.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah, just like postpone the Miz feud. I want Miz feud at SummerSlam, Daniel Bryan for the title at Mania. So whatever the hell you got to do in between then, so be it.
Yeah.
Sure. Then we get Samoa Joe, and please, please let that Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe be the match at Mania for the title. I'd lose my damn mind. Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns. Oh, say it ain't so, Joe. Joe's going to take the L. Roman needs to
probably
win.
He probably will, but the smart thing would be for it to put Samoa Joe over, because you need that guy to be that monster heel on SmackDown. You really don't need Reigns to win that match. It's kind of dumb.
But Reigns hasn't won in so long at this point.
I know.
Like,
I get it. You need
him to win, because if not, it's like, what is he going to get his next win?
It feels like it would be the linchpin to turn Roman Reigns heel, like the piece that I wrote for Bleacher Report. Like, turn him heel. Like, go that route, but they're not going to go that route. They're going to put Roman over on Joe, and I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, yeah, you know you are. And then Styles versus Nakamura. Low blow. No DQ match.
Ah,
I feel like Styles, this is where Styles wears the golden cup, hurts Nakamura's arm, and wins because of that. I'm still keeping that fantasy booking alive.
I feel like Nakamura should win, because this feud it's not what it should have been. It hasn't come close to touching the Wrestle Kingdom match.
I like the storyline, though. I like building a heel Nakamura. I would argue this has a better storyline than that New Japan feud. Because the New Japan feud was 2 months. Yeah. And it was like, okay, it's out of respect, blah, blah, blah. This has a better story. That was just a better match so far.
The low blows are just obnoxious.
I think they're hilarious. Like, that's the only way to get Nakamura a shred of heat, right? Is to get people just like, yo, again. Like, you have to get people to be tired of him or to dislike him. They're not going to dislike Nakamura. They definitely dislike him always using the low blow. You take whatever you can get, because the guy is so over.
I mean, look, Nakamura is, I think he's a great heel, because people forget, like, the dude was an excellent heel in New Japan. Yeah. But
mid-card heel only, though, right?
Well, no, he was Intercontinental Champion. Like, he had his run.
He's mid-card.
I don't know if you can necessarily qualify as a mid-card, because he was super over. Okay. Like, he was still main event and shit. But heel Nakamura was a great version of Nakamura, and that was the majority of Nakamura's tenure in New Japan was as a heel. So this, it makes sense. I they need to have a better match, and that's all I care about.
Yeah, as long as the match delivers, no DQ hopefully will help that.
Yeah, the no DQ is kind of signs that AJ should win, but I hope Nakamura kind of wins because I don't want him to just be here just to be somebody's jabroni.
Yeah.
Get a title.
I want Nakamura to win and hold the title because two failed title shots, title, you know, feuds, that hurts because who gets three in a year? Like, that's just, it's not going to happen. So that hurts a ton. And but the Samoa Joe coming out and calling out AJ Styles, that worries me because it's like you already built AJ Styles' next feud before this one finished.
Yeah, so I really have no idea where this one goes. I know we got to wrap up here, but New Japan, does Tanahashi beat Okada? And that's tomorrow night. Well, that's actually tonight in Japan.
Tonight. No, Okada wins and breaks the record, I believe, over Tanahashi. Okay. I should be.
And does Ospreay retain his title against Kushida?
Yes, even though Kushida, last night at the house show, was fucking dope against Ospreay. They had like a tag match. That was really fun. But I think Ospreay has it. Ospreay carries the belt into Battle of Super Juniors, goes in looking like a favorite, but puts someone else over.
Yeah, sounds about right. And then the last one, the Bullet Club split. You got Cody's Bullet Club and Kenny's Bullet Club are having a big 10-man tag match. Kenny or Cody, who's going to get it? Cody beat Kota Ibushi last night.
Yes, he did. Hangman Page was against Kenny, and Kenny beat Hangman. Exactly. And then the other two members, I think it was the Elite, won the titles off of Gorilla Destiny and someone else.
Yep. So this is going to be fun. So I'm
going to say it's going to be a good match. I'll take Kenny.
Yeah, to keep this feud going. I feel like they haven't figured out the end game. Maybe they do know it with this Bullet Club thing, but it's been fun while it's been going on.
No, it is.
A little confusing at times, but it's been fun.
Yeah, I thought, like, you know, the payoff should have been, you know, just what the last pay-per-view. But no, I like that it's still going on. Why not, right? Like, what else are you guys going to do? Like, Okada's on top. No one's challenging him. It'll be interesting if they use this to propel Cody and not Naito, not Kenny Omega. Cody to be the true foil for Okada once and for all. And if we get a Cody-Okada match with Cody going over at Wrestle Kingdom, how crazy would that shit be? He'd be the biggest heel on the planet.
Yeah, I don't think it'll stretch out that far, but it's interesting.
It just has to stretch to G1. Because as long as you stretch it to G1 and Cody wins G1, you're guaranteed him and Okada.
Yeah, that's
just August. It's 3 months. You got to stretch it for 3 months.
We'll see how it goes.
Kenny Omega versus Cody, final G1 would be dope with Cody going over and putting him as the big foil for Okada. Look at this. Yeah. Booking in advance, like ghetto. Let's go. Years in advance. It's quality booking, right. Dre. All right. That's our show for today, though. Thank you guys for listening. Once again, follow us on social media, at The Corner LSN on all platforms. Me, at Kel Dansby. Him, at Andreas Hale. Next week, we'll have a couple things to recap. A lot of stuff to preview. We're starting to heat up. Combat sports is heating up. Please, please, no more Kanye bullshit. We're good. It's two episodes. We're good on that. Once again, if I spoiled Infinity War for you, I don't give a damn. Should have watched it already. I watched it 3 times. Go to the movies and see what we're talking about. Thank you, guys. We're out.
Peace.